I want you to come with me to the book of Hebrews, 10th chapter. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading from the 11th verse of Hebrews chapter 10. We'll take it from the 8th verse. The Lord speaking says, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you do not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, 'Here am I. I've come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Notice their language there. He says he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. It's a continuous process, but it's been done. "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them in their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way opening up for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, only a fearful experience, expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies. In another translation, it says, our Father, God is a consuming fire. Then come to chapter 12. He says there, verse 18, "You have not come to the mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear that was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it was stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling of the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less shall we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, 'I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens.' The words 'once more' indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awful fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Heavenly Father, we worship You and magnify Your lovely name this morning for the fullness of Your Word, for the fullness of Your provision, O God. Heavenly Father, just as in the world You establish everything that was necessary for life to be maintained, generation after generation, so that it's self-contained, so on in the spiritual realm to show the same care that You deserve. And You made everything possible for the maintenance of spiritual life. And that entry into Your presence, O God, that we read about. We bless You and magnify Your name. You left nothing undone, no stone unturned. Every provision has been made. Long before we knew it was there, You placed it there. And You waited for us to discover it, O God, in Your grace and in Your mercy. We bless You that You've done that for us. And Lord, we are heirs of a new power of inheritance through Jesus Christ our Lord. And nothing, nothing shall be able to take it away from us, for God guarantees it under everyone that will believe and power of our prayer. We ask, O God, that You bless Your word this morning, undertaking for every one of us that we might hear and that we might rejoice in You and magnify Your name. Thank You, Father, in that lovely name we ask it, praising You because You hear us in that name. Amen. We have just read about two encounters with the living God. Two encounters that were terrifying to the people involved. We hear that the first account was taking place at Mount Sinai when the mountain shook and there was fire on the mountain and the place trembled and the people cried out to God and said, God, stop speaking to us because we can't bear the voice that we're hearing. And I believe that Moses also cried out with the people. They were terrified at the presence of the living God. And God is holy. And God is awesome. God is all powerful. He's bigger than our biggest big, and we must understand that. We're dealing with a living God and Almighty God. We're not dealing with the man down the road. We're dealing with God who is God and very God. And so Moses and the people of Israel cried out and said, please, Lord, withhold Your hand because we can't bear the glory. And then we hear of another account that takes place after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this takes place in the heavenlies. It's not on the earth any longer. But I want to tell you that the same awe and terror tends the way. Throughout the whole of the Bible, there is this act of obedience toward the living God, this willingness to bow down to His glory and to give Him all the honor and the praise that is due unto His name, so that we stand in awe. God appeared on the earth.
It will be the people that have treated God lightly. You can only treat God Almighty lightly at a distance. If the distance is the distance of sin, it's sin that blinds the eyes of men to the glory of God, so they don't understand who it is that they're working with and who it is they're talking about. The language that they use, you would think that God doesn't hear it, that there's no book that's recording every deed and every word that men are speaking. They think that they can say what they say with equanimity, without any complex. I can say what I like because I'm so strong in my own ability and in my own thinking and in my own mind. I'm strong. I don't need God. Who is it that walks into a consuming fire? Who is it that walks into the holiest of God Almighty? Who is it? There are many that than what they think, and they're not giving Him the honor that is due unto His name. When we come into His presence, we come with reverential fear. Fear is the birthplace of faith. Let me tell you that. The fire of God is the birthplace of faith. It's when we come close to Him that we begin to see what He is and who He is and what He's capable of. And in order for me to come close to God, I'm going to come to the fire. And no man wants to come near to God, because we don't want to be exposed by the presence of this Holy One. We don't want God to see deep into our hearts and what's going on in our minds all the time. And God looks inside and He sees and He beholds the sin, and He knows that my sins have separated me from God. That's the thing that stands in the way. The only thing that is in the way is my sin, my pride, my arrogance. I believe in myself and not believe in God. I need to come to the point where I'm walking with Him on His terms, and He understands that I'm doing it from my heart, and He knows that it's real and it's sincere. I must come before Him with a true heart. But He says, come to Me. Come to Me. It is necessary for Me to come to the fire in order to be saved. I've got to be there. The fire must burn me. The fire must reveal me for who I am in the sight of God, not in the sight of my neighbor, in the sight of God Almighty. Who am I? What am I? Where am I going? What are my goals? What are my ambitions? What are the things that are the driving forces in my life? What are they? I need to come to the fire, and in that fire which must be burned, it must be burned. I remember there came a time in my life that God burned my soul, and I remember the mark of it. He left a mark on me that I will remember till the day that I die. He taught me a lesson that I will never forget, because I understood, suddenly I understood I'm dealing with God here. I'm dealing with what He wants from my life, and I understood that I was out of line, and that's a terrible realization. You know the profane person that is mentioned in the Bible is Esau. The Bible says that he sold his birthright for a measure of pottage. It wasn't important. That's why he was set. It wasn't important. It wasn't as big in his mind as it was in the mind of God. It just sadly sank him. He didn't understand we need the mind of Christ to keep us walking in the path that God wants us to go. We need the mind of Christ, and we need to renew it daily. We need to come before Him every day of our life and say, here am I, Lord, what do You want? What is it in my life that You want to focus on? What do You want to do? What do You want to get rid of in my life? What do You want to do? I said to you on a previous occasion that there's one experience of being born again, but there are many conversions. And God leads you on in different paths so that you might grow. And Esau came to the time when what his stomach said to him was more important than what he had said. And so many Christians have here and not here. And they have it here. And they want it here. And God wants it here. And He wants it here. In the heart and the mind. He wants us to walk with Him according to His precepts. According to His commandments. He says, I'll write them on their minds and in their hearts by My I'll do that so that they can walk with me and abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible says this, that if I have faith as a mustard seed, I'll be able to tell a mountain to move and it will move. What will it be, my brother, when I enter into the holiest of all because I have the life in Christ, and I enter into the holiest of all in the fullness of faith? In the fullness of faith. What is the fullness of faith that God is speaking about? There is different kinds of faith. There is little faith. There is great faith. There is much faith. There is no faith. All of these are things that happen within the hearts and the lives of people.
Come because men will be lovers of their own selves more than and lovers of God. And he gives you a list of things that are happening today all around us. You can hear it in the news, you can see it in the newspaper. It's happening, and it's man-made. It comes through man by the devil in opposition to the living God. Do we need the assurance, that fullness of assurance of faith? We need it. We need to be able to stand and not only understand. You need it. I need it. The church of God needs it. We need to step over the other. Not from, not into the oath. Not into the oath. We've got to step over. We've got to breach this thing. And we've got to step into the holiest of all, into what is our right. Into what is our rightful claim. You understand, Lord? I'm your servant. What do you think of yourself this morning? When we say enter into the presence of God, how do you enter? You enter in with the fullness that a child has. I remember my father dying in his 80s. My mother was, she died in the 60s. My dad married a second time and we visited him on the farm. There was one thing in the interim that always worried him. He was living with his children. And it always worried him. And he said, my son, I long for the day when you took your knees under my feet. I want you to eat with me. I don't want you to eat with me. I want to invite you. And when we can come to God with the full assurance of a child, I have a right to put my knees under this set. I've got the right to partake everything that's on this table is provided by my Father. By my Father, I've got the right to. Then you change your attitude about yourself. When you come before God with doubts and with concerns and with question marks, you're not coming in the full assurance of faith. You're not. You're going to get that. You're going to be in the position where I can come before God and say, Lord, I'm asking for this, and I truly believe that I'm going to get it. Because Jesus gave it to me as a right. Can you say amen to that? That's what God wants for you, and that's what God wants for me. I must make a confession. I just borrowed somebody else's Bible here. I left the mic at home, so we couldn't tape the sermon. I left my Bible at home, so I can't preach. Oh, man. Anyway, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the lovely name of Jesus and we worship you. We bless your lovely name, O God, because you've got such things for us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him and are called according to his purposes. I thank you, Lord, that you've done that. That you've made a way for us, O God, to walk in. A way to walk in. An experience to have with you. You've made it possible through Jesus Christ. And we worship you, O Lord, that this is what you want to give us. O God, in Jesus' name we need it. Heavenly Father, help us to take it in its fullness. Everything that's there. Everything, the table is full. Father, help us to help ourselves, we pray. Lord, in the fullness that you intend. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given us. And we're standing on the threshold of something much bigger that's coming. We can hear the sounds of an abundance of rain. We can hear the sounds of the growing of the mold that each begins. And Lord, you said that you can discern the seasons. You must discern the signs of the times. We believe in Lord. You see it in the light of your word. And we understand the times are vitally important at this time. Guide us, O God, we pray. That we reach as far as we can, and around as fast as we can, and climb as high as we can climb, and do as much as we can do. By your grace, O God, that directed, we pray, directed dynamically in those areas of power and title, that every Father will realize that we are not just ordinary people. We are the anointed of the living God, we are the call of God, and as such we perform a peculiar activity, peculiar word, O God. Help us to understand it. Carry it out in this moment that Jesus may be glorified by it. Lord, that this town, this area of Victoria will be known because we are here. Lord, that this area will know that we are here. The church that On Wednesday there will be a cell group meeting here, as usual. The one in Weaven Park is moved to the Sunday night. There will be the dedication of the organ soon. Birthdays. Betty, the ninth. Is the ninth your age or what is it? Many happy turns of the day, sister. May God bless you richly. You're asked to pray for Eddie and Leanie is a sick lady. Ask God to undertake for her. Pray for Paddy. He has an aortic aneurysm. Pray for Auntie Muriel, for Sister Else, for Paul and our sister. You know, other couple that come here. Their mother is not well. We're going to go and see them after the service this morning. Pray for the Fundyefers. She has a heart trouble. Pray for the coming dedication service, that God will bless it and use it for His glory. Next week, tea duty will be Mavis's team. You see the sign up there, care and share. I've got stuff in the boot of my car, sister, that I want to give to you. And anything that you can bring along to assist, like toiletries, soap, tissues, that kind of thing, please do. They can use it. Okay. Will you take up an offering for us, bud? Praise the Lord.
I just want to share something with you in the light of Neil's message. The Lord has taken me on a series of 3-day fasts. I've been eating for 7 days, fasting for 3 days, and I've just come off the third fast this morning. And then I fasted sleep as well last night. I got to bed at about 3-4 o'clock this morning. At 10 o'clock last night, I was led to tune into CNN. I hardly ever watch television. You may or may not have seen the papers. Barak, the Prime Minister of Israel, has given the Palestinians until tomorrow to stop the hostilities. Otherwise, he's cancelling all peace processes. At 2 o'clock this morning, I tuned into CNN again. The moments before that, the United Nations Security Council had passed a vote, 14 in favour, condemning Israel, and the United States had abstained, and it's very uncommon for the United States to abstain. You may not be aware of the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue is that the Muslims have taken occupation of the Temple Mount. They have hewed out a massive mosque in the heart of the base of Solomon's Temple. And for the last few years, they have been progressively preventing the Jews from coming to the Temple Mount. It's reached the point now where they're even seeking to prevent the Jews coming to the Wailing Wall. So what you read in the press about Ariel Sharon visiting the Temple Mount is a complete smokescreen of the enemy. What we're facing here is a situation where Satan has been seeking to deny the Jews access to the Temple Mount. Now, again, you may not be aware, some years ago a red heifer was born for the first time in something like 2,000 or 3,000 years. So for the first time it is actually possible for a Levite to be sanctified for temple service, because for something like 2,000 or 3,000 years there has not been a red heifer. You may also not be aware, the Ark of the Covenant has been found, all the temple furniture has been found. God is moving in the situation, and the Jews are looking for the return of the Messiah imminently, and they're looking for the sign for the reconstruction of the temple. So you have a massive conflict here in the spiritual realm, that the Jews have been standing for all these thousands of years for the reconstruction of the temple on the Temple Mount. And right now, where they see the fulfillment of that, they see the red heifer, they see other things coming to pass, they see the signs of the times that Neil was referring to, and suddenly it seems to be slipping out of their grasp. There are now 5 mosques, apparently, on the Temple Mount. and the Jews are being virtually prevented from accessing it. I believe in my spirit that there is every reason, and I brought through some documents. I think I'll actually put them in Neil's car, but I'll bring a couple of them out. Anybody who wants them can have them. There are a number of prophecies which suggest that the war of Gog and Magog would start on the 28th or the 29th of September. I think I shared that with you last week. The hostilities began at that date. I think there's strong reason for us to believe that all-out war is going to break out in Israel tomorrow. There's no reason, there's a very profound reason for it to be tomorrow, because tomorrow is the Day of Atonement. And that is a very significant day in God's calendar, and it ties in again with what Neil is saying. We are at the very brink of judgment. I would hesitate to say with certainty that we are absolutely at the doors of the tribulation, but it does seem that way to me. I think whatever else you see, I was on the internet last night just looking at what various people are saying, and there is a broad consensus that round about the next couple of weeks, something dramatic is foretold by Scripture. There are different opinions. Some people are looking to the rapture. Some people are looking to the tribulation. Some people are looking to the war of Gog and Magog. Some people are looking to other things. But everybody, virtually without exception, is looking to something to happen in the next couple of weeks. The great day of the Feast of Tabernacles is the 24th of October. That is another very significant day in God's calendar. So I would really urge everybody here today. Neil's message is a message of great import today. It's a message which deals with what God requires of us. We can no longer play games with God. We can no longer pursue our idle interpretations of the Word of God and twist the Word of God, as I've seen in so many of these end time things, to try and make the Word of God say what we want it to say or not what we want it to say. But I would counsel everybody here, be prepared for what looks to me like all-out warfare. Last night they were deploying tanks throughout Israel in areas in Jerusalem where there haven't been tanks in something like 12 years. They've airlifted troops onto the Lebanese border. 3 Israeli troops were taken hostage yesterday. President Bill Clinton cancelled all his appointments last night in order to devote all his attention to it. The banner on CNN is crisis in the Middle East. I believe there are strong reasons that if it's not tomorrow, within days, but I believe there's strong reasons to believe tomorrow we will see a declaration of war. I believe we will see that flare up into quite possibly the Third World War. But whatever it is, it will be massive conflict. And recognize also that there's turmoil in Yugoslavia at the moment, and Yugoslavia is part of the heritage of Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog are two of the descendants of Noah who moved north into Russia, Yugoslavia, and that area. So it is no coincidence that what is happening in Russia right now. So whatever happens, and it's not possible for us to know precisely what's going to happen, but I think we must expect great turmoil. And with that, we must expect the other side of what Neil was talking about. We're going to see great judgment around the world for the flippant and presumptuous manner in which many, many people in the body of Christ have treated God. I really believe that the cup of wrath is about to overflow, and everybody here should really be searching their hearts. There is nothing more important today, as of this moment at 30 minutes past 10 on the 8th of October, year 2000. There is nothing more important than getting your life right with God, getting as close to God as you possibly can, because if you want to walk through the furnace the way Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego did, if you want to go into the den of the lions and have the mouths of the lions stopped up by the angels, you had better be in right standing with God. You had better be in the place that Neil was talking about, because if you are being trite and flippant about your relationship with God, you better believe you're not going to stand in the judgment which is at the very door.
Community Church is a Pentecostal church that believes the gospel is the most important message for this and any other generation. I was therefore surprised to read a poster put out by the Mail and Guardian newspaper that the day of the Christian church is numbered. I do not believe that there is any power that can annul what Christ alone could do, and that this message of redemption must be declared to the ends of the earth. To this end, we are producing these tapes for distribution free of charge. If this one has been a blessing to you, please assist us by passing it on. We thank you for your cooperation. God bless you. If you have listened to this tape and it has made an impact upon your life and you realize your need, may I pray for you that Jesus Christ might enter your life and bring about the changes that are necessary. In Jesus' name, pray that God will move by His Spirit upon your life, that your whole future shall be colored by the fact that Jesus is alive and that He's alive and triumphant in your life. May God bless you and use you for His glory. For we need every mouth, we need every effort to bring the message across to those that stand in desperate need. God bless you. Amen.
Foundation for Living Community Church meets at the South African Foro Federasie Hall, Jack Hinden Street, Pretoria North. It is pastored by Neil Dreyer, an apostle of God, who can be contacted on 012-808-1650. Meetings are every Sunday at 9:30 in the morning at the SAVF Hall. Should you be led by the Lord to sow into this ministry, banking account details are as follows. Account name, N.J. Dreyer. Bank, First National Bank, Branch, Silverton. Account number, 510-3011-9874. Branch code, 2508-4500. You are free to copy these tapes without restriction and to distribute them as widely as you feel led. Please remember only that each of us is called to account on the Day of Judgment for what we do with the Word of God. Should you require additional copies of this tape, please contact me, James Robertson, on Johannesburg, that's 011-791-2327, or cell phone 083-251-444, or fax 011-791-5004, or email jamesr@infodoor.co.za. That is jamesr@infodoor.co.za. And we will make arrangements to get copies of this tape to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen.